Hey there, Internet. It is... What day is it, Brian Belita?
It is December... I'm going to get this right. December 5th, 2011.
You just glanced
at 8:37 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
That's
the best time.
That is... No, I'm. You guys are living in the future. But, yeah, it's episode 65 of the Beardcast. I'm Wes Gardner. That was Brian Belita. Who else do we have here tonight?
I'm Imran Khan.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing witty this time, Imran?
I couldn't think of anything.
I feel like
Assassin's Creed has killed my brain.
So. I'm Imran Khan, and I feel like Assassin's Creed has killed my brains. Mark, it's your turn.
Well, you know, about that, I was never introduced last week either, so I thought maybe we just like keep that as a
we just keep it a secret. Where, who is this mystery man?
You're our trap card.
Yeah.
That's Hello. The nicest thing to say about somebody.
I'm a trap card.
The Martin Bradshaw trap card.
Oh, I wonder if they make...
You get a huge boost from the transsexual community now.
I wonder how many Yu-Gi-Oh! Valentines there are.
Hopefully
there has to be
millions.
Some. It was a popular kid's license.
Yeah.
And if being in school has taught me anything, is that there's a Valentine's Day card for any popular kid's license.
I remember giving out a Transformers Valentine's one year.
I just Googled it, and... Yeah.
The deviant art come up?
Well, there's a character named My Valentine, apparently, which complicates looking for this.
Okay. I thought this was a fan art, like, female version of Yu-Gi-Oh!, but it's really just, like, his female counterpart.
I guess.
His buxom female counterpart.
Of course. And she has the build of a 10-year-old, but the voice of a 90-year-old. That was the weirdest thing about Yu-Gi-Oh! I remember my little brother watching it and seeing this, you know, kind of linky and... You know, linky guy with big, crazy hair, and I was like, oh, look at that guy. And then he's like, my name's Yu-Gi. Like, he has the weirdest voice. And I was like, what? Did they just find a guy to do his voice? Or did they plan this from the beginning? Like, I don't even know if the Japanese voice is like that.
There have been some pretty great voice selections with things. I can't think of any specific.
That's a very statement.
No, just in general. I mean, I can't think of anything specific right now.
And stuff.
Andy Serkis for everything, right? No, he's just the mocap guy.
Yeah. And he actually did do the voices in Enslaved.
That's right.
Yeah. Didn't he help produce Enslaved, or at least like had some kind of creative input into the game itself?
I wouldn't be surprised. That game started off as they wanted to pitch it as a movie with the exact same like PS3 caliber graphics, and no studio would pick up on that. You can't put that out there against Toy Story 3 and expect it to compete.
Right.
So they're like, okay, whatever, just make it a game.
Yes. Man, I've had Toy Story 3 on my Netflix Instant queue forever, and I still need to watch it.
I still need to get my emotions in check before I watch it.
It's incredibly depressing.
That's what I've
heard. God damn it! All right,
can I ask something about this Pixar stuff? Because you know, I've outed myself as someone who has never actually watched a Pixar movie. Mm-hmm. Are all Pixar movies like this, where they're just incredibly depressing? Or is this something that's happened with time? Because
they
it
have
seems
happy
like...
endings, but okay. they hit a certain emotional resonance.
Yeah,
they sound like harrowing experiences from what I've gathered.
There's harrowing experiences. That's not the depressing part of Toy Story 3. The depressing part of Toy Story 3 is everyone has that situation where they have to outgrow their toys or whatever, and that puts it kind of in the forefront at the end of the movie.
Only if you want to have people over at your house ever.
Yeah. Oh,
I've got my secret room with all my Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
But I can tell you, Mark, that I honestly believe that Pixar right now is the best silent film company that probably has ever existed, because there's a 15-minute segment in Up that makes me cry like a baby every single time. Oh my god.
People keep saying this, and it's like, this is absolutely nothing I want.
Right? it's almost refreshing,
Dude, you need to watch WALL-E. There's like this bit at the beginning that'll just crush your fucking soul.
Oh yeah, well,
like,
the first...
It's apocalyptic, but it actually like it raises the Hindenburg of hope occasionally.
Yeah. No, that's true. And I mean, it hits on all these different marks, and it's kind of the cool thing that we got the question about why do action movies suck? And I guess their next movie, called Brave, is going to be more akin to an action movie, and I'm interested to see what they're doing with it. Because if anyone could actually make something right in a film genre, it's Pixar, in my opinion.
Brave does look very interesting, and I've never actually been particularly like compelled to watch a Pixar movie until Brave. Because Brave
it
does
has
look
Craig
kind of...
Ferguson.
That's fine.
And that's my number one reason for watching it, because Craig Ferguson is hilarious.
Did any of you guys see The Secret of Kells?
I did not.
Because that movie vaguely. Was fucking awesome. Like, superbly animated, 2D, and just, yeah, worth watching. And for some reason, I get kind of Secret of Kells-ish vibes from Brave. Mm-hmm. But it may just be because there's, you know, a young, you know, protagonist, and it's kind of, you know, Nordic, Norse mythology type-ish mm-hmm. thing. So I don't know, but for some reason I get those vibes. But yeah, it should be on Netflix, isn't it? So go watch it. And
also looks like the same kind of art style too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so do yourself a favor and go watch The Secret of Kells.
I feel weirdly compelled to watch the new Mission Impossible.
I want to see that damn movie, man. That's gonna
be apparently Brad Bird directed it.
Yeah,
which is why I'm compelled to watch it.
has enough time
made a bad movie that I know of.
Has enough time passed that we can safely give Tom Cruise money? I don't think so. I'm still not comfortable with this. Not until we know the status of his wife, if she's like, like being held against her will.
He hasn't done anything particularly super crazy lately, has he?
Man,
he let his wife be in Jack in Jail.
Oh, he let like some kind of like soulless shell of his wife inside Jack in Jail.
See, but I'm the type that I actually reward that sort of outlandishness. I think he should have a very storied career because of that. Like, I'm a huge fan of Angelina. Well, no, but here's the thing. I'm a huge fan of Angelina Jolie, and it's because she confessed her romantic love for her brother when she won her first Oscar. She's like, I'm so in love with you.
She made out with him.
Yeah, like, I'm so in love with you right now.
That's
to her brother. And
it's also the time she carried around like Billy Bob Thornton's blood on her person at all times.
Wait, she carried around Billy Bob Thornton?
Well, his blood.
Right. No, I know. Yeah, that was pretty crazy. And also something with the backseat of a car. I remember.
Also, she has enormous.
She carried around the backseat of his car around her neck.
Right. All the time while making out with her brother.
Also, she has these enormous, mind-blowing lips that cannot be denied. So.
Right. Yeah.
I always thought she was a weird choice for Lara Croft.
Really?
Like, she doesn't really... I don't really take her so much as an action hair.
No, she doesn't look like someone who should be doing, like, the flippy, like, crawling around stuff, because she has that enormous chest in the way of everything, and it seems like it'd be very difficult for her to, like, go around the duties of her daily normal life with that thing attached to her, much less, like, in like, going around
that
teams.
Thing? Is it just one?
Well, I also don't buy her as an explorer. Or explorer, sorry.
Right.
She
was totally unconvincing.
Too pretty.
But I guess that's sort of the point, that she's supposed to be the spoiled brat, but I don't know. Well, not spoiled brat, but rich. I don't know.
Supposed to be getting like a new Lara Croft at some point in the near future, didn't they announce that like sometime back in 2006 or something? That.
Wasn't for movies. I think it was just like the Lara Croft spokesmodel.
Yeah, it was a model from where was it? Norway or Russia or something?
Wait, did that new Lara? No, that the new Lara Croft game isn't out.
No.
That's still a ways off.
Yeah.
Right?
It got delayed another year, I think.
Yep.
Okay. Right. Awesome.
That's I was about to say
Square Enix, like whatever Eidos asks, they will delay it as much as they want.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably the best thing for them to do, considering how Deus Ex turned out, and they probably should have delayed it a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And there's also this weird infatuation to where Square thinks that Western RPGs are things like Tomb Raider. Which always blows
me. PowerPoint slide?
Yeah. Like, and I don't know if they just use those two examples of Hitman and Tomb Raider because those are Square properties. Like, so they didn't want to branch out and, like, promote other people's work. But, that was just a very weird press conference.
I assume that's what they were trying to do, because,
keep it in the family.
Right after that, they turned Tomb Raider into a survival horror Uncharted.
Right.
So I don't think they were trying to, like, you know, say, oh, we think this is a WRPG. It's just the only other examples are, what, Dragon Age?
Yeah. And
you don't want to show that to anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
So right now, I just have this phrase running over and over again in my head. Hit Man Tomb Raider. Lara Croft, the Hit Man Tomb Raider.
Hit Man Tomb. That's sounds like a...
The Hit Man Tomb. Hit Man Tomb, like Brick Hit Rock.
Hit Man Tomb, like a... Like a sleazy Vegas singer.
I think of Wes Mantooth from Anchorman.
Wes Mantooth.
Isn't it kind of sad that like nothing Apatow has made since Anchorman? He was on Anchorman, I assume. Like, nothing's been that good.
It's true. Anchorman, in my opinion, because people say Step Brothers is the best Will Ferrell movie.
Oh, that's bullshit.
And I'm like, no, Anchorman is by far and away the most superior.
Like, nothing has been as funny, and it seems like they've just not tried.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to stand up for Pineapple Express. I genuinely enjoyed Pineapple Express.
It had its moments, but I think, like, they tried to... They were too hell-bent on the idea that it was going to be a comedy action movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a stoner comedy. It's too many things.
Right, yeah.
But anything that has Gary Cole and James Franco crying into a cheeseburger...
And James Franco was he stole that show.
Yeah, that was the best he's ever been. I even watched that.
James Franco is a boss.
He is. I just not too long ago watched that movie with him where he was, what's his face? It got stuck up in the mountain.
Yeah, Aaron Ralston.
Yeah.
I mean, did Superbad come after Anchorman? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Pretty sure.
Superbad was good. Superbad is really good.
Yeah, in my opinion,
Superbad. I think that was about the point where I was like, oh man, I'm so tired of Michael Cera.
Yeah, I mean, that almost invented a new genre of comedy film.
The Michael Cera comedy film?
Well, pretty much, because, I mean, you have to look. The only one that's kind of come... Well, I think Bridesmaids was better than Superbad, looking back on it, but I'm kind of biased.
I never saw Bridesmaids.
Oh my god, dude, it's the funniest... Me either. Oh, it's one of the funniest movies I've ever seen in my entire life.
And you guys see the new Twilight movie?
We're going to pretend I didn't hear that.
Yeah, where he smashes
the
bed.
My respect for you.
I was kind of hoping.
Are incredible to watch if you watch them with riff tracks.
Well, yeah, I imagine. That's how the Star Wars prequels are.
I was hoping
Star Wars prequels,
go,
every
no,
time I
no,
watch
no,
those, like,
me neither.
Every time I watch the Star Wars prequels, I find new things to hate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing it intentionally. I'm like, okay, Star Wars prequels, at least I can leave the TV on and I'll be hearing Star Wars noises. That's fine.
Wow.
But then it, like... I'm like, wow, this conversation between Anakin and Padme is really rapey.
Yeah.
You know, the sad part about this is, like, the original series of Star Trek... Star Trek. I'm so sorry. Star okay. Wars. Is... That was terrible, and you just turned everybody off. But, no, it's like, it was eminently watchable. I mean, like, if it was on HBO or, like, even, like, the TV edit for, like, CBS or something, like, you could just turn on and be, like, halfway through, and you just start watching it because it was fucking great. As like you can't watch the new trilogy without just disgusting you, because there's no point at what you're watching. Except maybe like that little sequence between like Ewan McGregor and the Jango Fett fight. That's it.
Oh,
the
yeah.
one good stretch in that
is
entire
Jango
fucking...
Fett the floppy eared goofy guy.
No,
I hate
I'm
you.
Just kidding.
I hate you with a passion. Oh, God, I hate you so much. Damn you. Damn you.
You know, watching those movies again last week. There was a scene, like, right before that where Obi-Wan walks into Jango Fett's room, and then Jango Fett tells his son to go hide his armor.
Yeah.
You'd think, mm-hmm. A, Obi-Wan should be smart enough to know what the hell he's talking about, and B, get a little suspicious when he sees sees Jango Fett talking a different language to his son to go do something.
Yeah, and not only that, but there's kind of this big elephant in the
room.
A New
Zealand accent isn't a different language, Imran.
Well, there's this big elephant
in
the room.
It is where I come from.
Where Obi-Wan Kenobi is at fault for everything bad that happened. Because it was Obi-Wan Kenobi's idea for Anakin to go with the senator, right? Who turns out to be Palpatine. It was,
it turns out to be a Sith Lord.
Exactly. And it was Obi-Wan's. And even Anakin at the very beginning is like, I don't feel comfortable being around the Dark Lord. And it's like, well, you should still do it.
Okay, here's the thing. Like, yeah, it's Obi-Wan's fault, but you think like there'd be one guy on the Jedi Council, I don't know, maybe Yoda, maybe Mace, but one person and say, hey, you know what? Maybe we should veto this idea where Anakin hangs out with the Emperor all day long. Because
he's feeling they wanted nothing to do with him at the beginning.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true.
They didn't have good reasons. They were just sort of like, well, the kid seems kind of off. throw them away.
Yeah.
Let's stick them with a creepy old man.
Yeah. And even the mystical side of the Force, like, because people are talking about, well, the dark side makes everything cloudy. I don't know about you, but, like, we were talking about airline stuff beforehand. I wouldn't keep flying in a lot of clouds. If the world of the Force was becoming more cloudy, I would know something was happening. I didn't know what it was, but something was off. So I'd start.
They don't know something. It's like some Sith guys running around. Hey, we don't know what the fuck. Hey, let's go start a war. Let's go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, boy. Got some midichlorians in my basement.
Old Lord.
You know what always bothered me though? How old is Padme in the first movie?
This is a 20s, good question.
Like early 20s.
No, she's younger than that, man. She's
like, let's say 16.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's right around there.
Okay. And then Anakin goes away for 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
He comes back, and now he's like 25, and she's still
right.
27.
Well, yeah. To be fair, she is pampered. Like, her whole lifestyle, she wouldn't have to age because she doesn't have a lot of stress to worry about.
You don't have to age. You age regardless.
Well, true.
Yeah, you just sort of do it.
Now, there is an in-universe explanation for this, and I hate myself for knowing this, but the dark side of the Force ages you prematurely. So it could be, you know, he was kind of like dabbling in like the dark side to begin with and kind of like had an affinity toward it. Maybe that like screwed him up a little bit where but it's still weird because she's still clearly robbing the cradle at this point, you know?
Yeah.
She saw this kid as like a 5-year-old little brat, and now she's like slobbering over him. I don't know.
The really interesting thing for me with the prequels is because, okay, you have Obi-Wan Kenobi and you have Qui-Gon Jinn. Those are the two most not good or evil Jedi. Like, there's the strictly gray area. Because let's take a look. Qui-Gon Jinn lies to Anakin many times. Many times throughout the entire thing. Why are you taking my blood, Qui-Gon? Oh, you know. Just make sure you don't got a cold.
I have to get my daughter back.
You know, you might have a virus. I gotta check.
See, the whole thing could have been avoided if Qui-Gon just took Anakin's mother with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he's a fucking Jedi. Do what you want.
Yes. Yeah. He can make
those
shots.
You got the money.
Yeah.
Take her.
You're fucking Liam Neeson from Taken. You can do whatever you want.
Or just go back at some point.
Yeah, I mean, she could be a protected...
Obi-Wan could have done that.
Yeah, she could be a protected informant in a way. You know what I mean?
Or, like, they could just keep her on a spaceship. And she feels like if she has her pride, she feels like she needs to have a job, have her, like, hang out on the spaceship and, like, I don't know, be a janitor or some shit. I don't know. She doesn't have to hang out on the damn planet with the sand people.
Yeah.
Getting killed.
Yeah. And we always end up talking about Star Trek. I mean, Star Wars.
How did both of you do that?
Mark planted a seed.
He did. Evil influence upon all men. I am basically a Sith Lord.
Twisting that web. But yeah, I mean, I kind of like the overarching story of all six movies because it's always about Anakin. But
I feel like you could get rid of the first three or the prequels and it would be a better product for it.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's a whole thing. It's the same thing with Metal Gear. Like, 75% of that content doesn't need to be in those games.
They should just remake the episodes, the first episode in Unreal Engine 3. That's what they should do.
And just a little fan service moment, you look over and you see...
Cliffy B.
You could see... yeah, you see Cliffy B just smiling at you.
In an Ewok suit.
Oh, my God. That was a terrible video. I think I want to put that in the show notes.
Yeah, I've not seen the video that they remade Final Fantasy VII in UE3.
In Unreal. And you know what?
Is this something like Squeenix has a horrible idea that they're trying to do?
No. This is like some guy, because even in the credits, in his thank you, he has two names. It's like Eric and Angela. And then in parentheses, it says children's. And I started laughing, and I understand, you know, it's a foreign language. English is hard as shit to do, and he knows more English than I ever will, whatever he speaks.
Okay, wow, I do not remember her boobs being that big.
Oh, yeah, man, it's outrageous.
Missing something.
Like,
here.
It's 35, 40.
This is just like a minute of him running around looking at textures.
Well, just wait for him jumping on the boxes. That's why I started laughing out loud because I was like, yeah, this is Unreal Engine for sure.
He's really proud of that, like, one Mako light effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the little bits coming up.
Right.
And you know what? More power to him. Unreal Ed, it is very... It's easier than a lot of other things. I actually think it's easier than doing Source Engine stuff.
Okay, so you're
you're Dennis Dyack, then it's really hard.
But, I mean, it's still difficult. Like, the stuff that he did is impressive, technically. He did all this 3D Studio Max stuff.
Is it more impressive than Too Human? Does it look more impressive than Too Human?
Oh, yeah. I would rather play this Unreal Ed Final Fantasy, because at least I'd be able to laugh. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Too Human just sort of depressing.
Yeah, you just play it and you're like, how does he have a job and I not?
Not so anymore.
Right, yeah.
Too Human is the Pixar movies of video games?
No.
More like the Way Bowl of video games.
I'm Yuva Ball. I'm remaking Star Trek.
In Unreal Engine 3.
In Unreal Engine 3 3D.
3D. Oh, man. So what have we...
Only can't... Good.
Oh, what have we been playing, guys?
Yeah.
I know it hasn't been a whole lot of stuff. I know, Imran, you've been actually doing Assassin's Creed Revelations.
Tell me about Tower Defense.
Yeah.
It sucks. It fucking sucks.
Wait a minute. Tower Defense is good?
Did they fuck up Tower Defense? Assassin's Creed Tower Defense is awful.
How does this work?
You sit on a rooftop and you choose assassins to go X places on other rooftops and you fight waves of enemies, but it doesn't end with waves. You have to destroy a tank. And the enemy just keep coming forever and ever until you destroy that fucking tank.
It's a Leonardo da Vinci
tank that's like out of the time stream or like talking
it's made
about
of like wood and steel.
I immediately have to wonder why they thought that. After all these Assassin's Creed games where people loved, the one thing they probably loved about all the past Assassin's Creed games was all the tower defense that we did in them.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about this game. It's very clearly they couldn't think of something in time, so they took the basic Assassin's Creed formula, which is still pretty good, and then piled off so much crap on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's the tower defense stuff. There's these crazy first-person segments that, like, you play as Desmond walking through this portal-like area, and you can place blocks in front of you. And
what?
You can hear people going, like, I'm just like Valve! I'm just like Valve! No! It's actually completely awful. But they tie so many achievements to it that I'm like, maybe I should actually try and do this. I want my time back. Like, just doing two of them, it...
Oh, man.
Then
so do you have to do these? Are these, like, bonus challenges or something?
These are optional.
Well, that's good. The tower defense as well?
Yeah. I mean, they make you do it once, and if you don't... So every time you take an assassin or a Templar den from them, you go to... your notoriety maxes out. And the only way you can remove it is by bribing heralds or killing nobles. Nobles show up randomly. Heralds are... in the same places all the time, but they only take about 25% each time. So it's just a stupid grind after you take a Templar den where you have to get everything down, or else they're going to attack one of your assassin dens, which means you have to do one of the tower defense stuff, which is, as we mentioned, awful.
Oh, God. I'm terrible at tower defense.
This
I'm
all
just,
seems
I'm
like a
really
spiral
bad at it, so.
Of awful.
It's it like is.
One event leads you to another, like, awful event, and just, like, it goes down in, like, quality and it compellingness.
Okay, so using this formula... So we had Assassin's Creed 1, which is pretty straightforward. Assassin's Creed 2, that all of a sudden brought in, like, you could buy stuff in your village and upgrade it. I don't know if you could do that
anymore. Yeah, you could, like, set up stores, you can, you know...
Yeah, but it's very basic.
And then
it out in, like, half an hour. So.
Right, Brotherhood, it brought in this whole, like, gang team mechanic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can call people in to do your assassinations for you, and you have, like, a Facebook game-style interface to send them out on missions.
Right, okay. And then Revelations brought in tower defense using those. So what's the next evolution? What are we going to see in the next Assassin's Creed game?
It's match 3.
Match
it'll be
Bejeweled.
It'll be Bejeweled.
It'll be Peggle. It'll be
It could also be,
Peggle.
Like those... DS games for old people where you just like find a hidden object inside the picture. It could be one of those games.
This game has that too.
Oh, good. Awesome.
They changed it so Eagle Vision can scan for things. So often a lot of missions are basically just sit on this rooftop and look for the guy that's going to be the target. And there's like X number of people that you can choose from. So you just have to like some of the sync missions or get it right the first time, which is no way to get it right the first time unless you mess up.
Now, wait a minute, because Eagle Vision, like, allowed you to just, like, turn it on and see the dude because he was glowing, because you had Eagle Vision.
Yeah, but now
so
there's,
they
like,
made it
five
worse.
People glowing.
Yeah, so they made it worse.
Yep. Also, the Eagle Vision used to be on the Y button, and now it's on the click in the left analog stick.
Oh, fuck, that sucks.
Which, here's
what's
why
the
it
y
sucks
button
the most,
now.
Is because you cannot turn it on or off while moving.
Brilliant.
Like, you can, what, the so... click is, can still be clicked in, but it won't
So what is on the Y button now?
Y button now is bombs, and bombs are entirely useless.
Awesome.
To be fair,
but the game is completely dedicated towards this one thing. Like, there's bombs crafting tables all over the place.
That's awesome. So,
like ninja bombs, where like you throw them and like smoke comes out, or are we talking about?
You can have those. You can have cherry bombs that just make noise, smoke bombs, stink bombs. But you don't really need to do that because you can just go out to people and gank them.
Okay.
Right. I mean, that's what you do. So I'm inclined to say that following this formula, the next Assassin's Creed game might have some sort of elaborate sections where you may need to create Rube Goldberg machines.
I wouldn't be surprised. That would be more fun than.
I would play that because I love it. But I'm trying to think what, because tower defense, like I don't know, a couple of years ago, all of a sudden was a thing and people loved it. Yeah. And I'm trying to think what was the big thing after tower defense.
What's big at like Armor Games right now or Newgrounds? What's the big thing there?
Is Angry Birds.
I guess maybe it'd be Angry Birds.
It's reverse tower defense.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to bring that up, which is absurd to me.
First you build up your everything's built into like this tower thing because it's not going to remove anything. You build up your assassin's tower, and then the next part of the game you have to tear down your assassin's tower.
Mm-hmm.
That would at least be something fresh and different.
And you would fling assassins at it.
This game is it's the same game that was good in 2009 with a bunch of shit piled on it, but. It's the same game that was good in 2009 with a bunch of shit piled on it.
Right.
Like, I've 100%ed every Assassin's Creed game. Even I'm bored to tears with this one.
The first is bad.
Well, I still 100%ed that one, too. I got all the flags and finished the game, and then I got all the feathers in the second one, got all the other flags in the third one. It's very clear that I know I've been beating this drum for a while, so maybe people aren't going to believe me on this one, but the one-year cycle is killing the series.
Oh, yeah. You can see it even without playing it. I mean, you can just see the people's reactions. I mean, because you're not the only one feeling this way.
Assassin's Creed 2 was legitimately good, though, right? I mean, it was...
It was good, but it was still, in my opinion, the quality started to suffer.
Right.
As opposed to the two-year cycle that Assassin's Creed 2 had. And now that this is, like... Even giving Brotherhood the benefit of the doubt that they spent a little bit longer on that one, this one is clearly a 12-month game.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at the Assassin's Creed Brotherhood Wikipedia article, and like the first screenshot, the caption is Ezio using the BAM system, which apparently stands for Brotherhood Assist Move, but it's still a pretty good caption.
The BAM system. BAM Margera.
Yeah. Ezio is very well known for his use of the BAM system.
I'm torn on the idea of, like, the assassins coming to help you, because it ultimately takes all strategy out of this sort of thing.
Mm. Right.
Because if you can just bring them in to assassinate them, and you will get no notoriety yourself, no guards will chase you, they will automatically run away when their assassination is done. It's basically pointing on something, clicking on it, and the game saying, okay, mission's done.
That's kind of nice, though, because it removes the combat. Glitchy.
Like, oh, really?
Ridiculously glitchy. Like, there was a mission where I was supposed to chase a guy. And he was like, haha, you'll never catch me, and ran off. And I was like, okay. But first I'm going to fight this guard over here. And the game started giving me those warning messages, like, reduce distance to target.
Oh,
target
God.
Is going to escape imminently.
Right.
And then right after that, when I should have gotten the mission failed, desynchronized screen, it ended with me taking the guy's confession as if I had killed him.
Hmm.
Awesome.
There was a situation where I went to bribe a herald, and one of the guys in front of the herald just started clapping like a madman for no reason. I'm not sure what the point was, but he went into some hyper animation. And
hyper animation? Like a kamehameha?
The regular claps are basically like 1 second apart. This guy was going like super fast. And for some reason, this aggroed the herald against me. So he started trying to punch me while this guy was clapping.
Stop making him clap like that.
You gave his friend a grand mal seizure. And ran away.
That's awesome.
It's I want to like the game more than I do.
Yeah.
But it's so.
It's played
lazy,
out.
I guess. Yeah. Like there's the main character's supposed to have a scar on his lip, and they didn't even model that.
Because it's a different timeline.
Like Desmond himself. I guess the fact that he's in the Animus the entire time. Okay, I don't want to spoil Brotherhood for anybody, but a big thing happens at the end of Brotherhood, and basically that could have happened at any other game, but, I mean, they stuck it there because they wanted to sell the game. And they acknowledge it, but they don't acknowledge it in any realistic way.
Right.
And that kind of pisses me off, and it basically means, like, I don't feel Revelations, besides not being particularly revelatory, is at all a sequel to Brotherhood as it should be.
Like, they could just leave it out entirely and nothing would have happened in the storyline.
So far. People say the end makes a big deal, but I mean, if the end makes a big deal, you could have put it in any other game.
Right,
exactly. I shouldn't need to play 20 hours to get to that one thing.
So has anyone, like, seen any kind of insight that might be leading to, like, the next Assassin's Creed game, like, where they could be going with the timeline? Or
supposedly the design team has been touring Egypt.
Okay. That would deal with that. My biggest fear is that the next game will be, like, just Desmond, and it'll be a modern day, and it'll be just, like, a city, because, you know, they want to do it cheaply and lazily. So as long as they can avoid that.
Like, now that they've annualized the series, they're probably going to delay that as much as possible. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they did it with Assassin's Creed 3, but I think they're going to probably start a new story as well.
Hmm. Yeah, and I mean, at least if they did a current-day city, they wouldn't be able to kind of reuse art assets over and over and over again. Because that's the one thing I've noticed, is the games look identical to me. Like, you can show me a screenshot between Assassin's Creed 2, Brotherhood, and Revelations, and I might be able to tell the difference, but it would take a little while. Like, I would have to be like, oh, well, this color of clothing and this type of weapon and, you know, it'd be other context.
This architecture.
Yeah.
Constantinople, like, looks a little different, but unless you're someone who really pays attention to the games, minute by minute, you're not going to notice it. And it amuses me that, like, how far they went to avoid having any Islamic-style music. Like, you pass by so many mosques, yet what's playing is mostly smooth jazz.
Oh, for God's sake.
Because I know why they did it.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to piss off the mainstream people that play Assassin's Creed and might not be terribly enlightened about that sort of thing.
No, see, what it is, it's Desmond's memories, because the smooth jazz is, like, coming from the room, and it's, like, infiltrating the reality of the memory. So yeah, that's
how they'll back out of it. But, and I remember this from the first Assassin's Creed. Whenever the game was loading, it said, this game is made by a team of multilingual, you know, multicultural people.
Yeah.
Is that warning in?
It's in every game since then.
Okay, it is in every game. So at least they have an out. I mean, why not keep it historically accurate if that's what they're going for?
Well, I mean, it's not like the music is, you know, something that comes from the buildings.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just strange that, like, you would pass by a mosque and you wouldn't hear the call to prayer.
Right.
Mm.
At sunset, of all places. Because, I mean, I grew up Muslim, and I know what this sort of thing would sound like. And I think maybe that makes me a little more sensitive to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still hilarious in that way.
That's so bizarre.
But I bought this for about $25 off Best Buy's Black Friday deal. And I'd say that's about what it's worth. If you bought it for $60, I feel very, very sorry for you.
That's crazy.
And apparently a lot of people did. So,
I mean, and there's going to be people who, like, Assassin's Creed stagnating will not bother as much. Like, they love the series, why would it change, blah, blah, blah. Like, every time it comes up that it's a one-year cycle, you see a bunch of people saying, as long as it's still good, what does it matter?
Right.
And my thought is, it's not still good.
Yeah.
It's a two-year-old sandwich. The ingredients might be fine, but in comparison to things like Arkham or even Saints Row that came out this year, they're better open-world games. Buy those games before you buy Assassin's Creed.
Right. Hmm. That's weird, because it almost feels like this is what would have happened if Fallout kept making new stuff year over year over year. It would have been the same type of just burnout, I guess. People are just getting tired.
It feels like Madden. That's the issue I have with it.
Yeah, like Call of Duty is doing this. Assassin's Creed now is doing this. And yeah, it's just
because it's kind of the end game. If you're a publisher, you have like this yearly franchise that you can rely on year in, year out with your stockholders.
Well, yeah, it's not about profit. It's always about revenue. How much money can you bring in?
I think Call of Duty does it better, though. Because Call of Duty, they pass off between teams. Ubisoft cannot do that. The game is too big to have one team make the game.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to separate, like, include so many other teams, and thus they can't really pass off between two sets. If they did that, we'd probably get better games in the end.
And it's weird. It's weird that we mentioned Tomb Raider earlier, because you remember for the longest time how Eidos was the Tomb Raider team,
right?
And literally nothing else. Do you think that Ubisoft Montreal, or not Montreal? Which one worked on Assassin's Creed?
I think it is Montreal.
Is it?
Yeah, it is Montreal.
Okay,
it's Montreal.
Okay. Are they going to become the Assassin's Creed company?
I guess what they're doing now is that some of them have been working on 3 for the past 2 years, or past year, and the other ones have been, like, they've just been outsourcing within Ubisoft the other games. Like, Brotherhood was partly the main Assassin's Creed team, Revelations was mostly not the main Assassin's Creed team. So, I'm still looking forward to 3. But we'll see how it, like, if it feels like the same game again, I'm not sure how much longer they expect the success to keep going.
Yeah.
Well, how much of the same game would you expect, though? Because, I mean, it's the platforming and the stealthy assassinations, right? And
it's hard to, like, you know, get a tangible grasp on, but the leap that 2 made in quality over 1,
yeah,
right.
I need that again.
Right.
Right.
Otherwise, okay. I cannot keep going with this series.
Well, that's kind of, I'm not sure if that's exactly fair either, because 1 was fundamentally, I'm not going to say, I said bad earlier, but that's not being fair to it, but it was, like, flawed. It's like, how do you, 2 was great, so it's kind of difficult to, like, it's a lot easier to make the leap from a bad game to a really great game, like Uncharted 1 and 2. We saw that leap, but when they tried to get to 3, there wasn't a whole lot of room to go.
Right.
But, I mean, in one of the, like, in the Uncharted example, they went back on a lot of things. Like, they tried to hit the same beats instead of trying to improve.
Yeah.
Right. And then they kind of... Uncharted, I found this out after actually reading their behind-the-scenes thing, but one of the reasons I felt slighted by Uncharted 3 was the story was not nearly as good, and the reason for that is one of the characters got a job on The Hobbit. So they had to write him out, and it became... Yeah, they had to basically redo the entire game at that point.
Interesting.
So... I mean, I think if maybe they had gotten the full extent, maybe they could have made a better game. And that's what I'm hoping Ubisoft is going to do here. Now that they have this extra time, they know where they're going, this is a full mainline title. They can make those improvements. Because Assassin's Creed 2 was not better than 1 because they fixed everything necessarily, but because they added enough things to make it fun, but also lessened a bit of the strategy on assassination.
Yeah.
So, like... Maybe they need to walk back the Brotherhood kind of thing where you just look at someone and click left button.
Right.
Like, make it so you actually have to think about how you assassinate someone.
Yeah, I mean, this is exactly what's happening with the Call of Duty series. It's like they need to reinvent themselves, but how do you do it? Are kills worth more XP or kills worth no XP?
Yeah,
how do you change it?
It can't be a corridor shooter for the rest of the series.
Yeah.
Well, it's also possible. It's also possible that, you know, between, like, AC 2 and Brotherhood and Revelations is, like, they had to stay with the core concept. They couldn't really change a lot to that. But there's been, like, games that have expanded upon that, so maybe they can take a look at the Arkhams and, like, get some inspiration from that they couldn't add to that.
They should have learned the lesson of Arkham Asylum.
Yeah.
Because stealth in that game is good. It's easy, and it makes you feel powerful, but it's good.
Right.
And Assassin's Creed stealth is not. Like, it's gotten to the point where there's one mission where I lose sync if I get detected. But there's no good way to not be detected.
Mm-hmm.
You have to just dodge between haystacks. And that is fucking PS2 era stuff.
Yeah, that's rudimentary, terrible.
That's like MGS1 level stuff, really.
Yeah, and MGS1 I could, like, distract guards with patting on the walls or stuff like that.
Yeah.
Here I need bombs. But... if it's going to keep doing stealth, which I'd rather they improve it than get rid of it, then it needs to, you know, it needs to learn lessons from games like Arkham. And I'm playing, like, the problem is I'm playing Arkham City now. And the way it does open world traversal, the way it does different missions, the way it does, like, even little things, like the Riddler trophies, that's all superior to what Assassin's Creed is doing, which was fine in 2009, and it's a lot less fine now.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
So having now played City and Saints Row 3, how badly am I going to regret playing City over Saints Row 3?
They're different games. I'm enjoying City a lot.
Okay.
But Saints Row 3 is unabashedly a video game. Like, there's the point where I mentioned this before, it feels a little too padded. But I don't think you can go wrong with either one of them, as long as you play both eventually.
Right. Something that I think, and this could be my opinion, Imran, correct me if I'm wrong, but you remember how in our Game of the Year podcast last year, we had the full talks about how Bayonetta loves being a video game.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's basically, with the Grand Theft Auto genre, that's what Saints Row 3 is. It is the Grand Theft Auto version of what Bayonetta was to action games. I mean, because there's
unapologetically a video game.
Yeah, it just, it really is. I mean, they took out everything that was not fun.
And that's the opposite of what Assassin's Creed Revelations does.
They're adding stuff to try to make it a longer experience. They're trying to
justify the fact that this game is coming out a year after Brotherhood.
Yeah.
And in a sub-armor game style tower defense game. That's brilliant.
It's so bizarre. Because even, and they spent how much money on their CG trailer for Revelations? The one with Altair and Ezio?
Yeah. The Altair stuff, I mean, maybe I just misunderstood when they first announced it, but it made it seem like sometimes he would be switching to Altair to explore around the city.
I don't think you misunderstood. I think that was explicitly when they introduced it, that was explicitly what was being implied.
Mm-hmm.
That the game would be split between the two in some way.
Yeah, occasionally you just do short missions as Altair.
Yeah.
In like very linear environments.
And it's complete bullshit from what they were trying to sell us, like from I guess like E3 on up.
Yeah.
And the story of this game, like, the development history is that at one point it was the 3DS Assassin's Creed game, and they decided, oh crap, we need something for the consoles this year. So they just kind of built the game around Altair and Ezio and blah, blah, blah. And it feels like it, because thus far, Ezio is in the city for finding something that I only know what it is because I've seen him gather it, but I don't know why it's important.
You know, I'm almost glad that these guys kind of, like, fumbled with Splinter Cell, like, twice this generation, and they haven't had to, like, keep remaking that damn thing. And my memories of Splinter Cell are still fond.
Mm-hmm.
Conviction wasn't bad.
Yeah, I actually like Conviction. I just played it like it was a Jason Bourne video game.
Yeah. The problem is, like, at the end of the game, when they just decided, okay, screw it, this is now modern-day Gears of War.
Yeah, that was kind of rough.
Like, when you're going around that castle or whatever, and a helicopter is, like, shooting at you.
So bizarre. Yeah, thematically, it went 50 Cent Blood on the Sand.
Yeah.
Like, they just started mashing stuff. This would be cool to fight, huh? And then they just start introducing it, but
it would be fine if, like, it didn't screw with the gameplay. Because there's points where, like, okay, how am I supposed to get through this area? And the only answer is just start shooting people.
Which is kind of the antithesis of Splinter Cell, you know?
Yeah.
But you're talking about, like, Ubisoft using the exact same developer for, like, year after year after year. It's very strange for them to do, considering they sort of pioneered the idea of trading off developers with Splinter Cell. It's like every year it'd be the Splinter Cell guys, but every other year it'd be the Shanghai guys.
Yeah.
And you know to skip those years. You just go to, like, Splinter Cell 1 and Chaos Theory. So.
But Shanghai...
It's weird they backed up.
Let's see, Shanghai did Double Agent, didn't they?
I think so, and that's why I hated Double Agent. They did Pandora Tomorrow and Double Agent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've been doing I Am Alive recently.
And basically nothing else, because that thing's been in development for like 12 years.
It leaked entirely a couple of months ago.
Oof.
And the people who got it, they're collectors, so they're not going to put it on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
But from what they've said, it's pretty terrible.
Great.
Can't wait.
And I think that's one of the reasons it's just, you know, they're doing a quick, no-frills port to XBLA and PSN, canceling the PC version. Because just get it out there, make whatever money back they can.
Now, keep in mind, Ubisoft knows how to kill, knows how to send something out to die. I mean, they did that with Rayman Origins, so they have no problem sending shit out to die. So this must have been pretty fucking awful. They were the guys who did Deep... No, that was THQ. I keep confusing them for the Deep Blob guys who also sent out, like, something original to die.
Deep Blob 2 is on PSN now. I might actually end up buying that.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's see. Mark, what have you been playing anything?
Well, we been playing a little bit of Gears. Imran, Logan on the platformers.
He's gonna be so offended you didn't remember.
Yeah, that was terrible of me. And a couple of his bros. We got up to we cleared level 50 of Horde mode of Gears 3 over the weekend.
We did all 50 waves at once.
God damn.
Yeah, it was an impressive accomplishment. Now keep in mind, it was only on casual, but yeah. You know.
Even so, man, that's a grind. I mean,
it took us like 2 hours and 15 minutes, even with like the failed missions. It's pretty great.
So we suffered from hubris occasionally because we'd build things, then hide them away.
Right.
And then occasionally somebody would get like overzealous and be like, okay, let's go, we need to go grab these things, and then get them almost completely blown up.
Yeah. But then again, we kind of like just left that thing because there's in Gears 3 you got the Silverback, which is this big robot dude, and it's an enormous investment to like sit him out there into the fight, and he gets blown up strikingly quickly. Mm-hmm. But you don't want to drag him out like ever, and he's basically just a mobile turret. But we just left him sitting out there for like multiple turns when we were getting destroyed, and we completely forgot that little guy was in the back.
So, yeah, by the end I had about $33,000 just saving up to repair it when need be.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Of course, been playing more damn Skyrim because it's a cancer upon my life and won't let me do anything else. It's a destructive force upon everything I've lived for, and I don't care because I've loved Skyrim so much.
Right. And that on that same point, I think – a lot of people this year, I've seen kind of some murmurs and stuff about, oh, well, we shouldn't go to Nitrobeard's site for their Game of the Year coverage because it's just going to be Skyrim will win everything. And I think people might be surprised.
No, it's going to be Skyrim.
you don't know. I mean, it's
Skyrim.
Oh,
damn you.
This year, I mean, because I was looking Skyrim. I was looking at the releases this year and I was like, God fucking damn, this year was loaded. And we don't think about it now because everything's back-ended as usual. But looking at everything, it was nuts.
Remember what came out this year? Dead Space 2 came out this year.
Yep.
Think about that.
Yeah.
It was $5 on Amazon the other day.
Yeah. I think it's fucking revelatory when it came out.
Yeah. This year is unbelievable. And people aren't giving it the credit it deserves because, I mean, Skyrim is... it overshadows everything, but...
Yeah, and it's about to happen again in 2 months.
About 2 games yesterday, I came home and did not play any of them until maybe an hour ago.
Right. That's how I was. I just got that Lord of the Rings War in the North, and I just booted it up today. But I think the next segment, whenever Brian gets back, he's been eating dinner, but whenever he gets back, we'll kind of do an open brainstorm. So you, the audience, can hear us talk about what our ideas are for the Game of the Year stuff, which is coming up in the next few weeks. It's going to be so awesome. But I've been playing that Lord of the Rings War in the North. And I'm a fan of Snowblind's previous games. Like, I really love the Champions of Norrath and the Baldur's Gate, like Dark Alliance.
Basically been making the... pretty much the same formula of game all this time, right?
Yeah, that's true, but I will say this, I will preface it with this. If Dragon Age 2 was this game, I would have loved Dragon Age 2. I mean...
If Dragon Age 2 were a lot of other games, it would have been a lot better.
Yeah. No, that's a good
point.
If
Vanquish, it would have been amazing.
Well, literally this feels like what... If they wanted Dragon Age 2 to be an action RPG, they needed to make a game almost exactly like War in the North.
Angry Birds. It'd be better if it was Angry Birds.
Because it's
Dragon Age 1. It'd be better if it was Dragon
Age
1.
Yeah, oh god, yeah, but we weren't prepared for their innovation.
An aneurysm would have been better if I had an aneurysm.
Yeah.
And just, like, died.
That game's so fucking terrible. I hated
it. Did you ever actually get around to playing it?
No, I never actually. I played the demo, and it's just it's.
Well, that's then you
I
play the game.
I look behind me, and things are spawning behind me, and I can see them fucking spawning behind me. I don't need anything else. You are the laziest fucks on the planet.
Yeah,
and I feel like you guys should like buy this game cheap and try it out.
I will.
Like the actual main game, because you don't know the depths of how bad this is.
Oh, I have it on. I got it on Origin whenever it came out. I got it as a gift from work, and then I.
Does your work hate you?
Well, because I was like, well, I played some Dragon Age 2 on PS3, and they're like, well, here's some PC copies. You have some store credit. So I got it for literally like $7. And I still paid way too much for it. I hate Dragon Age. I hate it. I actually hate Dragon Age 2 more than I hate Final Fantasy 13. Like,
that's impressive.
I'm that fucking blown away by how stupid all of those design decisions were.
The thing that pisses me off the most is I hate to keep going back to this game, but I take a look at Skyrim and the things Bethesda does and the obvious care and pride that Bethesda has in crafting this game.
Mm-hmm. Unless you own a PS3.
Unless you own PS3, then you're kind of screwed, but those guys deserve what they get anyway. Anyway. But
that is kind of fucked up on, like, I feel like at some point you should make an option for a persistent world. Because I forgot who made this analogy, but I was reading it the other day, is that Bethesda's Skyrim engine is like the Rain Man. Stupid and remembers a bunch of stuff that no one else ever needs to know.
Right, exactly.
But it is kind of neat when, like, you see, like, a tower that you haven't been to in, like, 3 weeks, and you say, have I been here before? And you see, like, a naked Nord dude with, like, no gold on him, and say, oh, yeah, I killed everyone in this tower, like, 3 months ago.
Right. Oh, but
I had that situation with Fallout, but I mean, on PC, that's one thing, but when you have like 256 megs of RAM to work with,
you know,
you should have the option.
Not to defend them, but you know, they're working with like really old technology when you take a look at the PlayStation, and like not just old technology, but old, like, weirdly limited technology. Like,
it's totally Sony's fault, but I mean, it's a 30 million unit system at this point. Mm-hmm. You take a little bit of care.
But then again, if they cared that much to put it on PS3, then they could like dropped it down significantly and like also put it on the Wii. So
no, there's no way this could have been a Wii game. There's not a single way in this.
Yeah,
point.
That seems unlikely.
Well, they put Morrowind on the Xbox One.
Right.
But let's presume that they're doing it just because, okay, it's, you got 3 million boxes out there, you got to put it out there. The same logic says that you just put as basic like a version as you can on the Wii and see what happens. If you don't really give a shit about making it work on the PS3, and obviously they didn't, they just put that there as a cash-in, then sure, why not? Just put it on everything at that point.
Well, I think, like you said, the technology is very specific, because have you ever tried web browsing on a PS3?
Oh, God, no.
Never.
You can't do it, because Flash videos won't load, because there's not enough memory.
Oh, brilliant.
And I was like, are you kidding me right now? Because I know for a fact there's enough memory. I know the system wouldn't boot on if it didn't have enough memory to load a freaking Flash video. But it's the way it's constructed. I mean, that's why whenever the PlayStation 3 first came out, all the developers are like, this system is backwards as shit. Like, how do we even make anything for this? This is ridiculous.
I mean, it's one of those things that speaks to Sony as a hardware company and not a software or OS company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, look at the stuff that's going on with Vita right now. The UMD buyback program, the crazy, crazy single account thing. I don't know what they're thinking they're doing, but if it's... I will have more respect for them if it's a crazy Machiavellian evil plan to get people to pay more money.
Yeah.
Than it is just pure incompetence.
They're incompetent. Because you take a look at the Kindle, and like, Sony had this market sewn up with e-readers 5 years ago, before the Kindle was even thought of. They were the e-reader guys. They had no problem letting Amazon and the cheaper guys just come in there and just take the whole thing. And they had no plan to get it back. And the same deal with the Walkman versus the iPod. And they're wholly incompetent, and they have no idea what to do when somebody else comes into their market. And you know, when they were the guys who came in on Nintendo's market and changed the marketplace, then they had the advantage. When Microsoft comes in, I'm not going to say that Microsoft's great or anything, or like competent, or know what the fuck they're doing, but they're kind of more professional than Sony. They come in and they change it. Sony has no idea how to react. And the same thing happens when Apple comes in. And same thing happened when Nintendo finally gets around to changing their ideas. But Sony's still the same. Sony can't adapt.
Well,
it's the same story constantly with these
guys. But that's and this may get me a ton of hate mail, but that's a lot of how Japan thinks. Like, because that same thing happens with the Nintendo. Why the fuck is there not a good online service for the Wii? Why is that not a thing? And it's because the culture, there's more people in a subway. Who cares? You can't bring your Wii onto a subway to play Monster Hunter. You can't do it that way.
I will say this, though, that Mario Kart's online stuff is actually, like, the most progressive implementation I've seen in a non-PC environment.
Right. That's what I've heard, too.
Have you actually know how it works?
I haven't. All my buddies at work, I'm at that weird crossroads where I want to trade in my copy of Mario 3D Land in order to get Mario Kart. I'm at that threshold because I already have Mario Kart DS, but I need to know if I need Mario Kart 7. You see where I'm at?
The online is how it works. Like, we bank one kind of a server-side community,
mm-hmm.
and then anyone can just enter that code, and they automatically can play with anybody inside that community.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's basically like a Steam group.
Yeah, but like a big lobby system, yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. But even... It's bizarre because you can see this in a lot of other things. Like you said, that Sony had the whole ebook thing, but I bet those ebooks were super hard to use. Like, I bet some of the functionality wasn't nearly what it is, and the reason why Kindle and these other things are taking off is because of the ease of use. And
it's because of the ease of use, and it's because Sony has this weird idea that they're a luxury product maker when they're not Apple. They can't afford to get away with being a luxury marquee.
They can easily become Apple.
Yeah,
they
for sure.
Won't.
Yeah, right. Because
they were at one time.
Yeah, they're too. I mean, the Walkman, and I mean, it's too. They're too stubborn, and I'm gonna argue that Nintendo's too stubborn. Why are they making literally another Wii and expecting the outcome to be any different in the minds of gamers? Like,
not to stand up and defend Nintendo, because goddamn, I hate Nintendo so much. But Nintendo has adapted surprisingly well in the wake of like the N64. Because they came with the Wii, they had a different business model. They said, we're going to drop this whole idea where we're going to try to keep up with Microsoft and Sony because they have enormous pockets. Can't keep up with those guys. So they changed the market.
Mm-hmm.
And now Microsoft and Sony are trying to pick back up with Nintendo. That has never happened before.
Right.
Yeah, there's like a good 89, 90 million reasons why they would make another Wii. Like, yeah. I think that would be a great pitch for them. If someone was like, let's make another Wii, everyone in that boardroom would start applauding.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, of course.
Let's do the Wii again. Sure.
And then we're going to run into a hardware version of Assassin's Creed. We're going to run into here's the other Wii, and this one has a thing where
here's
you can...
The GameCube.
I think at some point we're hitting until we see what this 360 R2 and PS4 are going to look like, we really can't say anything,
yeah,
but...
That's true.
They're going to be the graphical leap everybody hopes they are.
Well, we know like the Wii U is, from what we can understand, the Wii U is basically catching up to the 360 and PS3 and maybe eclipsing a slight amount.
We're getting like mid-range PC kind of graphics out of those, which should be enough to make those consoles look kind of old, but we don't know what Microsoft and if they are really going for the dual GPU kind of thing, then that's going to be a big deal, but I think we're also going to see some hint of diminishing returns on this.
I'm not sure if it's going to be a huge deal because, I mean, like, multiple cores on die is kind of common.
A big deal in that they're not going to be able to cool it well.
Yeah, that's true. And
so it's something that will matter once they actually revise this console eventually.
Right.
But immediately, I think we're going to end up seeing a lot of things that will look like current generation games, but running at higher resolutions with better effects.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
Paul Theroux on, like, his, he's got a podcast with Twit, This Week in Tech, rather. Just nothing but Windows stuff. And he's saying that it's going to be the 360 2 or whatever the hell it's going to be called. It'll be a lot smaller, a lot cheaper, and apparently a lot cooler and quieter than the first 360. So apparently they're going to be able to get away with this. I don't know.
Yeah.
Unless it's strictly here's what I'm afraid of. They're going to release a damn streaming box like on live, and you're just going to connect to Microsoft servers. That's why I'm deeply afraid of
it. Well, it is definitely going that way. I mean, that's why we have games on demand now on the Xbox Live Store. But I think the thing that's going to make next generation so good is how easy it will be for people to make games. We're heading in the direction. Like, I think it's going where you're talking about where the graphic fidelity isn't going to be much of an improvement. I agree. It's going to be higher resolution. But the real power of these next systems is, okay, creators, here's what we can give you. What are you going to give us? that's what they have to sell it on. Because if it's just, oh, it's the same weird architecture that's made backwards with upside down power sources and
it'll be a PC.
It was never the architecture that was making games difficult to make.
Well, PlayStation,
it was the fact the business has gotten to the point where you have to spend $100 million to make your game stand out among the battlefields and the Call of Duty.
Well, and that's game developers'
fault. That's entirely EA's fault.
Right. Well, that's game developers' fault.
It can change once they go to like the mid-level guys, like the THQs and the Ubisoft and the Japanese guys, and say, "Look, we can cut you a deal. We're going to just give us the money directly. We'll publish your stuff."
Yeah.
What's going to happen is we're going to get further stuff like what's happening with Vita Katamari and Vita Ridge Racer and Gears of War. Mm-hmm. That you're going to get an experience you may or may not feel comfortable paying $60 for, but then you're going to get another $40 to $50 of DLC on top of that.
Yeah.
That's going to be their key. They're not going to cut back on game production value.
Well, yeah, they can't. At this
cannot
point,
compete with EA and Activision.
Yeah, at this point, you can't. It's like making a Hollywood blockbuster movie and having it.
Yeah, but they're having. But like, how many Hollywood blockbusters does your typical studio put out every year? Like maybe one or two, like summer blockbusters. It's like this industry. Every fucking game has to have that same production values.
Right.
It's not sustainable.
Yeah, it's going
to
break.
And what Microsoft or Sony or Nintendo has to do is approach these guys and say, we have a better idea.
See, to an extent, this is a very Nintendo living in its own bubble kind of thing. I think that's what they were trying to do with the Wii.
Yeah.
The problem is that, like, if you tell THQ, hey, you're not going to survive next generation, you should pull it back a bit, THQ isn't going to listen. THQ is going to think, if EA can do it, why can't we?
Right. It's stubborn. Yeah.
Because everyone thinks they're going to be the next GTA or the next Call of Duty.
Right.
But there's only room for maybe one or two of those.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is fine. I mean, it's going to shake out, and there's a lot of people going to lose their jobs, but what's happening right now can't last.
Yeah.
Did you hear that the guy who founded Team Bondi, asshole one, has a new game out, or new game in development?
It doesn't
surprise me. I heard that. War of the Orient.
Yeah.
Wait. Was that it? I thought what happened there was like their development team hooked up with that director, and that was another game that was in the pipeline with that same development team.
I think he got he's found a new publisher for a different game. Whatever it is, I'm sure it's just going to basically be LA Noir. Some other
thing. You're right. That's what Kotaku is reporting. It's like Horror of the Orient's next escape from. So we'll see that in like, I don't know, 10 years. Okay, who's gonna work with this guy? Who's gonna
work
with this jackass?
This publisher.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Like, that's one thing I don't get is the game did okay, but the guy apparently lost so much money for Rockstar that they'll never work with him again.
Well, I mean, they lost so much money, but his developers were leaving, and that's why LA Noir is completely fucking empty.
No, they lost a bunch of money too. He spent, I think, $100 million on just, developing the game and getting those actors and paying them for 9 hours a day to sit in a chair.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, he's actually back with George Miller's KMM Studios. George Miller apparently swooped in and bought the entire outfit. And, wow, George Miller's an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah, but you guys are right. It's going to be siphoning. The whole industry is just going to siphon money. Also, game fans like us, we're enthusiasts, we're going to be stubborn as well. We're not going to want to change so dramatically that the fact that, well, we don't want Angry Birds to be our future. So, where's the middle ground?
We worry about that. Wait, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, no, I was going to say another thing, and this was brought up actually at my work today, is gamification of everything.
Yeah.
I don't want things to go that way either.
Right, where if you brush your teeth for 60 seconds, you get 3 points that you can use towards parking your car in the
And we keep worrying about shit like that, but at the end of the day, we're still going to get our Ninja Gaiden, we're still going to get our Vanquish.
Oh, yeah.
We're still going to be
announced. I mean, that may be coming to a head because look at Epic said that the AA game is dead. That
right,
you could sell 700,000 copies of a game and still not make enough to profit off of it. And that's why we may still be getting a Ninja Gaiden, but if Ninja Gaiden 3 fails, then are we getting a Ninja Gaiden 4?
Right.
We got a Bulletstorm, which is a AA game and a pretty fantastic game, but Bulletstorm 1 sold 700,000 copies, and we're not getting a Bulletstorm 2. We probably hit that point where gaming is going to become an exclusive club for certain things and certain developers. People can fly the actual developers of Bulletstorm are making Bulletstorm 2 because they're probably making the Gears of War prequel trilogy.
Yeah.
Because Gears of War will sell, but Bulletstorm 2 will not.
Right, exactly. And I just think if we return to a... And this doesn't even have to do with DLC or anything. If we just return to where revenue isn't important, but profit is, everyone would be in a better place as far as companies and people keeping their jobs. Because revenue is liquid assets. Revenue is something you can think about. Well, how much money could this bring in 6 months from now? It's like, who the fuck cares? How much money are you going to make back? Okay, opening box office. Like, everyone on the movie talks about opening weekend. If it has a bad opening weekend, guess what? You better sell some DVDs.
Yeah, and then shit like Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 3 making some ungodly amount of money on its first day. What was that again? Mm-hmm. Like something like $80 million on its first day.
Yeah, first 3 days or something, $885 million.
And that's not going to help. Yeah. They're just going to get skipped. But you know, here's my theory on this. Like, the PlayStation 2 sold an enormous amount of consoles.
Mm-hmm. $120 million.
$120 million. And that was largely being sold to people like us.
Right.
I mean, the idiot hardcore gamer who's actually going to sit there with Okami for 20 hours.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I would argue PS2, it sold to the hardcore gamer, but that made up maybe $30 million at most.
Yeah, that's
it
true.
Was everybody else that bought it.
It was everybody else's second DVD player.
And we're never getting a console like that again.
Yeah. Well, here's
we're never going to get like the ultimate everything for everybody box.
Yep.
Well, here's my thing. It's like there's still money there. There's still money to be made in selling us games. There's still money to be made in producing that Vanquish at some point. The industry has to figure out where that is.
Mm-hmm. But on like the same tone, that Vanquish failed.
Sure, it failed. Okay.
So, I mean, Bayonetta is the most successful game they've had, and rumors are that Bayonetta 2 was canceled.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
It's just...
Well, no,
there was a point where those PS2 games made money, and there was a point where they could sell those games to us. And this market hasn't left. Okay, we've survived the waggle, we've survived this fucking gamification crap, we survived Cabela's. Okay, we're still there, we're still buying these games, and they have to know that we're still. They have to figure out where that limit is, and it's like sports owners. They sit there and say, "Well, we can't stop from buying these stupid contracts with these players. We just can't help ourselves." Well, you can, and if you don't, you're going to go out of business.
Yeah.
And these guys can sit there and say, "Well, we've got to make this game for $60 million. We can't help ourselves because of production values." Well, you can, because if you don't, you're going to go out of business.
Yeah.
But here's the thing: the people who decide that are the people who want everyone else to go out of business.
Yeah.
It is extremely beneficial to EA and Activision if THQ no longer exists.
Yeah. Right, exactly. I mean, there's not a Starbucks on every corner because they hope you like Starbucks. There's a Starbucks on every corner because they don't want any other coffee shops. It's really bizarre because I think it all comes down to how does a developer define success? How does because if you want World of Warcraft success, pack your fucking bags now because you ain't getting it.
Yeah.
Like, period. I mean, the same thing with Old Republic, like we talked about either last week or the week before that, is they're going to be successful, but they won't think they are. Well, yeah, sure, we're making money, but we could make more money. And you're like, get over it. Like, if you make something that makes you more money than what it costs to develop and pay your people, congrats, you did well.
But, well, these are all public companies is one of the bigger issues.
Right.
That just making money is probably not enough for investors. I don't know what the fuck EA is telling its investors that they can lose money hand over fist and still spend $120 million advertising a Battlefield 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I get the feeling it probably includes the words, "We're going to beat Call of Duty."
Yeah.
Well, they want to drive Activision off the cliff. Yay.
Or you at least
and Activision wants to drive them off a cliff.
Yeah.
And everyone else is on the cliff.
It's collateral damage, yeah. It's, I don't know. But we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. I think we got some Game of the Year stuff to talk about, just kind of plans the iron out, but we're going to do it in front of you fine people so you guys can be in on all the goodness. But yeah, and since Brian Belita is back, we can ask what he's been playing. But yeah, guys, we'll be right back.
Well, I wish all you pretty women fishing after me, showing up after me. Oh well. And I sat down low on her front step, and she said, come in now, Jimmy, buzz me just now left. Just now left. And I said, oh yeah. She said, sure enough, there. Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Oh yeah! I'm gonna make a
Hey, internet peoples, with your music devices and your earphones and your car radios. It's the Beardcast again, still. And still, episode 64.
It's still named the Beardcast.
Yeah, we were... big discussions happening.
We were toying with it about... We were toying about changing it to the Stubble Pod.
The Mark...
Would have been a good idea to have, like, a joke prepared for that.
Right, the Mark Bradshaw Appreciates Mario Cast.
Yes.
I gotta hate you. I swear to God, I'll kill you all.
Can you guys imagine that show would be like inside the actor's studio, but it'd just be Mark Bradshaw just talking about the laurels of Mario.
Mario is magnanimous.
Magnanimous. Yeah.
I feel like if we wrote James Lipton and asked him to like read our Game of the Year list, he would.
Oh man, that'd be so
possible.
Or get like Sir Ian McKellen to read it like Gandalf.
I think we should try it.
Yeah. That'll be the next Sideburned episode. Our next interview episode will be with James Lipton.
James Lipton.
It'll be nine and a half hours.
What video games have you been playing lately?
It's like, Skyrim is the zenith of our industry.
It's like, splendid.
Was that James Lipton merged with William Shatner?
Yes. I saw a video the other day of Shatner explaining why Star Trek is better than Star Wars. And yes. The related video was Carrie Fisher explaining why Star Wars is better than Star Trek.
Awesome.
It just got me so depressed. Because both of them have been like ruined by themselves.
Right. Yeah. See, that's just a good call to get back a celebrity deathmatch.
Claymation thing?
Yeah, the claymation show. That is to have show. Carrie Fisher versus William Shatner to see who is actually correct.
I'm pretty sure if you give them enough room and a pile of Coke, they'd probably kill each other anyway.
Yeah. That is true. I wonder what the reasonings were.
Carrie Fisher was like, it's a standard folktale that with a sci-fi twist. And Shatner's was, I have no idea, because he sounded high.
He was doing all the hotel commercials.
Oh no.
Let's see, what video is this? Oh god.
Yes. Yes.
Great radio here.
Yeah, we were just we just got sent the link of Benny Hinn. The guy, what religion is he? He's Christian, but he's like
he's evangelical.
Yeah, evangelical, that's right.
But he's the weird evangelical who believes like the word of Jesus flows through him. And there's evangelicals who are normal. Like if you listen to like the Slacktivist blog, or like read it rather, since I don't get to say it as a podcast. But he's like that type of charismatic evangelical who right. believes like he can channel the word of God right. and it heals people.
in this case, the word of the dragon.
But it's set up to the faux Stora.
Oh my God!
And, like, because Benny Hinn, for people that don't know, what he does is he gets people on stage and he like punches them. Basically, he like puts his hands on them and they flip out, they pass out, and they backflip. They do all this other stuff. It almost looks like he's in an action movie with like Tony Jaa. And so they set it to the Skyrim stuff. So he does the dragon chant, and then all the people fall over in the audience, which is the way I think it would be in real life if Skyrim was real.
Except all those people would be aggro to him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Zone, quickly, get to the, right. get to the door.
It's like, run, hurry. God, my favorite
See,
thing.
You know what's disappointing about that? Is it would have been nice if you could, like, jump and aim down and dragon shout and, like, get blasted off.
Like, rocket jump? Yeah. Yeah. That'd be pretty awesome.
Oh, man.
Bethesda dropped the ball there.
I love that he stumbles back like he's surprised it happened.
Like,
oh man, my eyes have been open to all the Fustro Da videos now.
Yeah, there's an amazing amount of Fustro Da stuff. It is great.
Oh no.
Oh, but we're back from break, and we're going to talk about we're kind of in the preliminary stages of planning our Game of the Year coverage. Oh man.
So many games.
Last year.
So many games in the year.
See, and this one, because last year I really liked NitroBeer.com's content. No, but I liked kind of what
you sound kind of biased.
Yeah, a little bit. I kind of, you know, sort of biased on that. But this year, I don't know if it's going to be easier or harder.
We had two Marvel vs. Capcom 3s this year, people.
Yeah, exactly.
Two. Think about that for a while.
The tie for first place goes to Marvel vs. Capcom 3 and Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Oh, God.
There was a fighting game stream going on in the last couple of days, and they were reading off the change log from the old Marvel vs. Capcom to the new one. They're like, oh, well, they nerfed Wesker here. He can't do a certain combo. And literally 5 seconds later, the player on the stream does that exact combo. So I don't think Capcom paid too much attention to it.
Apparently.
Capcom is just vaguely aware that Marvel 3 exists and, like, just throw it out there. What the fuck?
I think they're ready to move on to Street Fighter Cross Tekken.
Yeah. God, those.
Is that the official pronunciation?
Cross, yes.
Okay. Just checking.
Yeah, it's like, what was that? God, there was a really horrible RPG with Namco Cross.
Oh. Namco Cross Capcom.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's an SRPG. It had its moments, but mostly not that great.
There was also the card fighting game with SNK Cross Capcom, which is actually...
Capcom's kind of a whore.
Yeah.
A little bit.
They are enormous whores. Anyway, Game of the Year.
Yeah, Game of the Year stuff, it's going to be...
Mortal Kombat 9 was this year.
Yeah.
Yep.
Portal. Remember that? Mortal Kombat 9?
Yeah, Portal 2.
This has been a long year.
Yes, it has. Deus Ex, yeah.
Deus Ex, Portal 2, Skyrim, Saints Row 3.
Yeah, Dead Space 2. God.
I should probably pull up a list.
I bet there's a website for that sort of thing.
We need to recite the entire list in song. Yeah. Imagine Babies.
God, man, there has...
Imagine Babies game developers.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
This year is going to be nuts, dude. Because we do have a lot of content planned. We're kind of keeping some of it on the...
God, Mass Effect 2 was this year, too.
No, it was last year.
It was last year. The PS3 version came out this year.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Because remember, it was the tie for last year between Bayonetta and Mass Effect.
I don't remember what I ate for breakfast.
We fucking can't do another tie this year.
Yeah, this year we can guarantee it right now. Episode 6.
So,
none.
Well, what we need to do is have a tiebreaker. We need to make sure we have an odd number of people.
I will be that tiebreaker, gentlemen. Do not worry. I will
come in if you like. The tiebreaker will be double me.
We should have somebody write down something what to do in case of a tie.
Yeah, we open the box, right? We get to that point, we're like, look in it.
What we should do is invite just a complete stranger. Well, maybe not a stranger. We should try to get
just
some
a guy.
Sort of video game celebrity on it. We should invite Jeff Green.
Oh, if we can get Jeff
to come on the podcast for 5 minutes at the end and I'll make the tiebreaker.
I'll just promise.
I bet if we tweet him asking to break our tie on the GoatyCast, he would.
Yeah,
and I've been considering contacting him via Google Plus, just because I can do that privately instead of publicly over Twitter, which I feel is kind of like a dick way of saying, hey, you should be on our podcast.
Yeah.
Retweet if you like.
And then then he's put on a weird place, yeah. Because we can promise him PopCap immunity. Like, we could put at least 3 PopCap games on there.
they just started doing the
podcast,
the PopCap podcast, which I think, right, it's either the PopCast or the pod. Cap.
Was it discussing like high level peggle play or what exactly?
Yeah, pretty much, man. I mean, like super high level peggle play. But no, I guess just what's going around in their offices,
which is awesome. Yeah,
I think they kind of do what they've been playing us up. But no, so it's pretty cool. And I don't know where that is being. You can find it on Twitter, or I mean on iTunes if you do a search. But otherwise, if you follow Jeff Green on Twitter, he posts about it pretty much whenever it goes up and stuff. So.
Trine 2 is out tomorrow.
Oh shit, I gotta buy that right now. I'm looking forward to that.
Do you know they made a second Crysis game? And that second Crysis game came out this year? See, when not.
Vaguely, I think I played through that game.
I did know that they made a second Crysis game, but I did not realize it was this. Oh yeah, I guess I did know it was this year.
You know Bulletstorm was this year?
Bulletstorm, Batman Arkham City.
No, Arkham City makes sense. We remember
Minecraft.
Arkham City.
Yeah, Minecraft was officially out this year.
Yeah, Minecraft was last year. We've been over this. It was on MCC's Game of the Year list last year. It came out last year.
So I'm going to go ahead and be pretty controversial and say that automatically Batman Arkham City isn't going to be even a contender for a winner for me.
Really?
I'm going to be
not
super
even like your top three.
So okay,
top
has
five?
Everyone,
top three,
please,
top
has,
five?
Has everyone here played Arkham City?
I've not.
Not yet.
Okay, Imran, have you?
I've gotten about halfway through, I think.
Okay, so you haven't beaten yet.
No.
Okay, well, when you beat it, we need to do a little solo Batman spoiler cast and talk about it or something.
All right.
But anyways, Game of the Year stuff. We're going to do video.
Mm-hmm. We got all sorts of content lined up. We got editorial content. We got a ton of podcast content, some awesome video content ideas. We're ironing out all the specifics, but we're definitely going to have more content than we did last year, which is saying something, because I remember Game of the Year week being 2 updates a day plus 2 podcasts plus, you know, it was madness.
It's pretty much our busiest week of the year besides E3.
It's true. Yeah. But yeah.
You don't know Jack came out this year.
That
was fun. I like that game a lot.
Nice.
Fuck this year.
The Damned was apparently this year.
I remember Shadows of the Damned.
Has any of us bearders played Modern Warfare 3?
No.
Yes, I played the single player.
And did you beat it to completion?
Yeah, I got close to the end.
Okay.
I kind of stopped caring after a while.
How many daughters did they kill?
Yeah, about Soap McTavish.
Don't tell me. Anyways.
Holy shit, Infamous 2 was this year.
Oh, damn.
I still need to play that.
Okay, I need
to... Uncharted 3.
I know our personal lists, we can kind of do our own thing with that, but will we qualify something like the Metal Gear HD Collection?
I figure HD Collections are out.
Yeah,
HD, of course, even if their remakes are out, like No More Heroes PS3, I don't think counts.
Can it count? Okay, that's fair. Because that's always one of those weird things. It's like, well, Shadow of the Colossus and Ico are the best games of every year. You know, like,
but
you get those.
But
type
you
of
just
people.
Destroyed like my top three because that was 1 and 2 and 3.
Two and
all
three.
Of
was AC.
Yeah.
Oh man.
What about expansion pack? Was there a WoW pack this year?
I don't think it was. Wait, WoW. I don't think it's gonna be a huge threat.
No, Cataclysm. Cataclysm came out last year. I want to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're safe on that. I mean, but here is the thing. Old Republic comes out December 20th. Odds are we're either going to be done with our Game of the Year stuff or it'll be during that week. So I, honestly,
I
I'm probably
safely say MMORPGs are not going to affect my vote either way.
Okay, yeah.
Cuz
I mean, I will chime in probably on my list or I'll do another editorial if it's too late. I'll do something on it cuz I do want to write about it. I played that beta, and it was very, very good, but it will not change your mind on MMOs.
Here's the one question I would bring up. Radiant Silvergun, first time it's been in America this year was on XBLA.
I would say first time it come to America counts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I was probably going to nominate Xenoblade, but now I'm not, because next year.
Right.
Oh, yeah. And I'm kind of happy that it's coming next year, that way I can afford to rebuy a Wii. Because I will literally just get the Super Mario Galaxy games. I'll get Skyward Sword, and I'll get Xenoblade.
Wouldn't you just wait for the Wii U? Just buy the Wii U and just get it for that?
Nope. No, because, I mean, honestly, the whole Wii thing doesn't interest me. I love my 3DS to death, and Nintendo still makes rad games, but I think I'm at that breaking point to where I'm like, you know, how much would I really play it? Would it be worth even having it in the house? Because that's why I sold back my Wii so long ago. I had two games for it. You know, it was just taking up space at that point.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we probably should look back on our New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
So we wrote those down.
I know. I remember what mine was.
I remember mine was like a sentence. That's all I remember.
Damn it, I played Nier, so I lived up to my end of the bargain. I said I was going to play more weird Japanese shit, and I played Nier.
Mine was I would play more competitive online games, which is true. I did, but I didn't really get any better at them.
Okay, you know what? Mine was play more HeroScape and delve into some other board games, and I've definitely done that, so I am happy about that.
Well, yours was the one sentence answer, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I don't have time for this
because because I didn't know what Imran was doing. He was just like, "Hey, resolutions." I was like, "Oh, sure."
It looks so
funny. And
then
all of a sudden, I see an article up online.
I see. Oh, the way I envision it is like I just see Imran like with a microphone coming up to us, and we're each at a cubicle. It's like, "Hey, tell me about what you're." And you know, Mark's like, "Man, I want to play Nier. I want to get back on that." And I'm like, "Yeah, I want to get better at all these competitive games. You know, this is such a big opportunity." And then he comes up to you, and you like wave him away, and you're like, "Yeah, board games and
yeah, we got some dice.
Get out of here. We got shit to do."
But we can discuss those more in depth on at least one of the Game of the Year casts or something.
I think mine worked out. Like I said, fewer sub 6-hour games for a full like $60. I'm not sure if I actually did that for any games this year, I'll be honest with you.
No.
So I think I did all
right. You didn't buy Need for Speed the Run, right?
Let's see. No, I did not buy Need for Speed the Run, and I'm pretty sure if like you walked over to me and said, "Hey, Mark, here's a disc of Need for Speed the Run," I'd take that disc and I would throw it. I would throw it away.
It would probably get more air.
No, you should just leave it. I would just throw it. Just no specifics. I was expecting like something completely just mean. Like I would eat it. I would snap it in half. Yeah, I would just take that disc and I would kick it.
Oh man, but
I.
Oh, go ahead.
Apparently, I finished Mass Effect 2 this year. Hell, I got time for that.
Right. You guys want to do like a worst games of the year thing?
Yeah, we should probably do that.
Oh, good call.
Well, at least games that we've played.
Well, how about like I don't know, like worst games of the year? Because I mean, there's a ton of bad things out there.
Worst that we've played. So like,
Imran's got a leg up on us though, because he's like, "Oh, fucking Cabela's Ultimate, the Shadow of Cadmi." Give me that.
I got something new called Remington's Hunting or something like that.
Oh man, I bet that's awesome.
Wait, is that the one with that comes with the orange gun in the box?
All the Cabela's orange guns in box.
Yeah.
And you get different orange guns depending on which Cabela's games you buy. Some of them have like the old timey looking shotgun. Some of them have like the modern looking like badass laser rifle. So it's pretty neat what they do.
But yeah, worst game idea. We could probably just pick one of our most disappointing game of the year.
Dragon Age 2.
Yeah, I would say that's probably going to be mine too.
And if
you know, games at least know they're crappy.
Yeah.
And if I don't know, and maybe we'll do some kind of off the wall things for just at least posts that would be pretty easy to do with screenshots, just like, I don't know, favorite enemy of the year, like the giants in Skyrim who launch people into the stratosphere.
Worst game of the year wouldn't be anything that was released this year because, like, all the stuff I played that was actually released this year was stuff that I wanted to buy.
So, worst game you played this year?
Yeah, this year. Not exactly when they came out this year.
Sure. Right. That makes sense.
Cool.
Because, oh man, Castlevania was bad. I don't even think that was the worst one.
Yeah, I'm really going to have to think about if I played any terrible games. And if not, maybe I should fix that.
You should go out of your way to play garbage.
Yeah.
I keep telling you guys, we need to play Drug Wars.
Oh, you're right, we do.
Once I get my motherboard fixed, I guess.
Yeah, fix that.
Yeah, fix your mother.
Oh, my.
What did you say about my motherboard?
Fix your motherboard.
Oh.
His motherboard is just fine.
Mantoom?
Man, yeah, what? Hitman Tomb. Hitman Tomb approves.
Hitman Tomb approves.
What is this?
Ham radio.
Mark's, I didn't realize that Mark was connected to us by a CB radio. Yeah.
It's like that movie where that guy was talking to his dad from over a ham radio.
From the future. Man, that was a crazy movie.
Was that a Pixar movie?
It
sounds like a Pixar movie.
Dennis Quaid. It was a Dennis Quaid movie.
Dennis Quaid. It was Pandorum.
I just remember the scene where like the cops came in to arrest the dad, and he was like talking to his son over the radio, and they had this like overwrought dramatic music playing.
Right.
And he was just slowly being dragged out while the kids are just sitting there on the like couch and not paying attention to anything.
And then there was that scene with the slide that just had like, God, there was so much slow-mo. Like, it was excessive slow-mo. But that's another story entirely.
I love movies like that.
Yeah. And like, yeah, so we got Goatee content.
Goatee Con.
Game of the Year convention.
Welcome to Nitro Beer Goatee Con.
That's what we should call the Goatee Con podcast.
I agree.
Goatee Con, welcome.
Goatee Con 2011.
We just add bad sound effects to it.
It's just us four.
Yeah. Hooray! We're gonna make sure.
Sales were down this year, but still keep on trucking.
That could be our reader. I don't know, feedback or entry podcast. But that should be a GoatieCon.
Yeah, we should do that too. We should do an open deal for people to send us what their picks were.
Well, didn't we do that last
year?
Yeah,
we did it last year.
Recorded what their picks were?
Yeah, it was awful because those people were dumb. Oh, we need to do it again. Okay, yeah, sure. I'm sorry, I'm insulting our viewers.
But a good recorded thing.
Yeah. Well, it's good to hear people's opinions.
Yeah.
Their diseased opinions.
Well, I mean, it was a terrible choice, not because it was a bad game, but it was because it didn't come out that year.
Right, yeah.
Like, his whole thing was explaining why it should have been considered anyway.
Yeah. We could always open it to a game that was released this year, favorite game you played this year, or worst game you played this year, and vice versa.
2010's 2011 Game of the Year.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good.
2011's 2010 Game of the
Year. Either way.
The future game.
My future game is Mass Effect 3. I'm actually eager to see how Devil May Cry turns out. Because, like, I don't know if I mentioned this, but the guy who, one of the producers for the game, started following me on Twitter, and, like, I'm just eager to start trolling the game constantly now. Because I want to see, like, why he's following me all of a sudden.
That is
trying to find out where you live and silence you before you destroy cells of his game.
No. That'd be surprising. They're doing a decent enough job themselves.
Yeah. Ba-dum-tsh. But, yeah, gang, that was a good cast. Episode 65. I'm trying to think of what week we will start our Game of the Year coverage. Do we want it the week of Christmas, or do we want it the week
after? It needs to be a week after.
So, like, the 26th through the 30th?
Yeah, if not, like, a week after that.
Picks soon-ish.
Yes.
Because I need to actually start getting the footage together.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially for video.
I'm going to record is going to take a while, so.
I would vote that we could do the week after Christmas, because Christmas is on a Sunday this year. It's on the 25th. So we could do 26th through... Yes, 26th through the 31st. And then that way, as soon as our Game of the Year stuff wraps, it knocks in the new year.
Yeah, and if I don't know if any of you listeners out there have any crazy good suggestions for Cast Footy, feel free to suggest it on Twitter or Facebook or beardcast@nitrobeard.com or actually any of our names at nitrobeard.com.
Yeah, do that, or you can even comment on this show. Yeah, we'll see it. Just send it to us.
You could do that, yes.
We'll definitely do it. But yeah, thanks, guys, as always. Awesome cast, and we will see you, Internet, next week.
See y'all later.
See ya.
Hooray.
See y'all.
Hooray.